From the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, this is Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Hi, I'm Robert Jeffress, and welcome again to Pathway to Victory. Tragic stories of homicide often dominate the news cycle, but in reality, the sinful act of killing someone is quite rare. So does that mean that most of us have never broken the sixth commandment? Today, I'm going to expose common attitudes that creep into our minds that, when allowed to fester, can lead us down a path of destruction. My message is titled, Preserve Life, on today's edition of Pathway to Victory.
The Ten Commandments are so much more than a list of rules to memorize. They're an invitation to a fulfilled life. In his brand new book, The Ten, Dr. Robert Jeffress describes how to experience God's best for your life by following the Ten Commandments. This fresh presentation of timeless truth will free you to experience blessings you could never imagine. Request your copy of The Ten by Dr. Robert Jeffress when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory.
You know how there are just some things that happen to you, you never forget. And this was the most bizarre thing. One time, my brother, sister, and I inherited rent houses. And then one of our relatives died and left each one of us a rent house. I quickly learned why my grandfather once said, If you really hate somebody and want to get even with them, give them a rent house. Because you're always worried about keeping it filled, you know, and keeping it maintained. And, you know, I had this rent house, I had a couple living in it, and I was trying to sell it to them at a reasonable price. Thought we had it all worked out, had the contract signed. On a Monday morning, the realtor called me, said, "Robert, that contract fell through." I said, "Oh, no, not again." She said, "In all my years in the real estate business, I've never had this happen." I said, "Well, what happened?" She said, "Well, that couple signed that contract on Saturday afternoon. Saturday night, the husband bludgeoned his wife to death and left her unrecognizable remains in the back bedroom." Now, if that were not creepy enough, a few days later, I received in the mail that signed contract from that husband and wife. And I thought, as I looked at that contract, this couple were unified at least enough to agree on a major purchase in the afternoon. But by evening, anger had entered that relationship and caused that husband to extinguish the life of his life partner. That is the power of unresolved anger. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 5:22, "But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court." Anger in and of itself is not a sin. The Bible says, "Be angry, but do not sin." You need to resolve anger before nighttime comes. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Jesus said another attitude, an action that leads to murder, is an insult. He goes on to say in Matthew 5:22, "Whoever says to his brother, 'You good for nothing,' shall be guilty before the Supreme Court." That word translated "good for nothing," it's an Aramaic word. It means somebody's mental aptitude. Literally, it means empty-headed. You dimwit. You know, when our girls were growing up, we tried to keep them from using the S word, stupid. Don't say stupid, stupid. Of course, I would undercut myself when I'd yell it out when somebody tried to cut me off. But I tried to, as much as possible, not have them use the word stupid, because you're assaulting somebody's mental aptitude, somebody God made. And that leads to a third wrong attitude and action that leads to murder, defamation. Matthew 5:22 says, "And whoever says 'you fool' shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell." That word "fool" is moros. We get moron from it. We think of mental aptitude, but it really is a character assassination, somebody who's devoid of good character. You know, in Proverbs 11:9, Solomon said, "With his mouth, the godless man destroys his neighbor." You can destroy a person by the words you strike them with. You know, just as murder robs somebody of physical life, wrong attitudes, whether it's anger, insults, defamation, they rob a person of their God-given dignity. That's where the Apostle John said in 1 John 3:15, "Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." When you insult somebody, defame them, spill out bitterness on them, you are assaulting somebody Christ made. Now, there's a third area that this command encompasses: acts of murder, actions or attitudes that lead to murder, and third, activities short of murder. When God talks about violence, he's not just talking about murder. He's talking about any way we assault another person. I want to tell you something very interesting. If you study Genesis 6, right before God destroyed the world, do you know the reason he destroyed the world? He says himself in Genesis chapter 5. In fact, he says it twice. In Genesis 6:11, it says, "Now the earth was corrupt and was filled with violence." And then it says in verse 13, God said, "The earth is filled with violence, and I'm about to destroy it." Don't think this attitude or this idea of violence is some secondary issue. God hates violence. And we need to remember that. That's the reason he destroyed the earth. When you strike another human being, you are striking somebody who's been created in the image of God. I don't know if it was this way with you growing up, but it was for me. You know, my parents went to great lengths to make sure we didn't see anything that was immoral or overtly sexual, you know. Certain TV programs, certain movies, you know, you just couldn't watch those. You didn't ever want to see anybody in their underwear. I mean, that was terrible. But to see somebody have their head chopped off, oh, that was nothing, you know. People gunned down, you know, in a brawl, you know, that was fine. Violence was okay. Sexual immorality was wrong. No, both are wrong. Both cheapen the value of life. And that's why we've got to be very careful about what we allow our children to see. I think not the only reason, but one reason violence is so prevalent in our society is we glorify violence through television and movies and video games. We teach people that life is cheap. No, the Bible says we're not to engage in any kind of violence whatsoever. And if you're in a situation where there is violence in the home, that must be dealt with. Why is the punishment for violating this sixth commandment so severe? Let's be clear, there's no wiggle room in God's law for taking the life of another person. Exodus 21 verses 12 and 14 say, "He who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. If a man acts presumptuously toward his neighbor so as to kill him craftily, you are to take him even from my altar that he may die." If God did not prescribe such a severe punishment for murder, then it would devalue human life. No, but here's another reason. God is so against violence and especially murder. I described Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16, that talk about how intricately designed we were by God. Now listen to Psalm 139, verses 17 and 18. This is worth the price of the sermon right here. This is what David is saying. "How precious, God, are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you're still with me." Isn't that an amazing thought? God doesn't just think about you occasionally. He is constantly thinking about you. When you wake up, he's thinking about you. Through the day, he's thinking about you. When you go to bed, he's thinking about you. You can't count the number of times a day that God is thinking about you because he loves you. You can understand then why God reacts so violently to somebody destroying that person that he loves, that person that he sent his son, Jesus, to die for. And you can understand his outrage at the first murder when Cain murdered his brother Abel. Remember the story? God told Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam and Eve, to bring an offering, and he told them exactly what kind of offering to bring. Abel obeyed God and brought the right kind of sacrifice. God accepted his offering. But Cain decided he would try to approach God in his own way. He had a better way, he thought, to approach God, a better offering to bring. In fact, that same pattern continues today. There's a phrase throughout the Bible, the way of Cain. Beware of the way of Cain. What is the way of Cain? It's trying to approach God on your terms instead of God's terms. People today say, oh, I don't need to believe in Jesus. I can come to God in my own way, through another God, or through my own good works. No, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Cain didn't believe that. God rejected his offering. And Cain got angry. Now, his anger really was toward God. But he knew the principle, don't pick a fight with somebody bigger than you are. So he directed his anger not toward God, but toward his brother, who was made in the image of God. He killed Abel, and what did God say in verse 9? He said, what have you done? God knew the answer. He wanted to know if Cain would confess. Cain didn't confess, and so God set it straight in verse 10. The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground for justice. Up to that point, no human being had ever died. Can you imagine how Adam and Eve must have felt when they stumbled upon the lifeless corpse of their son, Abel? They perhaps
better than anybody, understood the sanctity of the value of human life. Why? Because life was truly a gift from God for them. God had personally breathed the breath of life into each one of them. And they understood that nobody had a right to extinguish that breath of life. Life is valuable to God. How do we apply this commandment? What are some things that we can do? There's a scene in the novel Lonesome Dove by Larry McMurtry in which a cutthroat murderer named Blue Duck stumbles upon a group of gamblers and he wants to enter the game. The hardened gamblers don't want to let Blue Duck in, so without warning, he pulls his gun and shoots one of them. Another one of the gamblers says, "Man, life sure is cheap up here on the Canadian River." And Blue Duck says, "Yep, and it may get even cheaper." We live in a society in which life seems to be cheap. We may think, well, we're powerless to do anything to stem the tide of devaluing human life. But let me close today by just some practical things that we can do. First of all, if you're able, give your time, give some of your money to support shelters that protect abused women and children. We have a pregnancy center that we support here at First Baptist Dallas, and what I love about it and many pregnancy centers is they not only care for the child inside the womb and make sure that child is taken care of, but also for the mother and the child once they're born. Remember, again, the sanctity of life means caring about all children, both the born and the unborn. Second, if you are struggling with thoughts of suicide, deal with that immediately. We have a wonderful counseling center here at our church, Pathways Counseling. Pam Green and her team are able to see and to help you. If you're watching this right now, you live in another city and you're struggling with suicide, talk to somebody immediately. If you have nobody to talk to, call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. It operates 24 hours a day. I've asked the number to be put on the screen. It's 1-800-273-8255. 800-273-8255. Thirdly, maybe you have elderly neighbors. They deserve dignity of life as well. Check in on them. Make sure they have water and food and utilities and what they need to live and survive. And fourth, and perhaps most importantly, remember, murder, whether it's overt murder or attitudes that lead to murder, comes from the heart. If you've got a root of bitterness in your life toward the way a family member has treated you, maybe a friend has betrayed you, a parent has disappointed you, root that bitterness out. We are never more like Christ than when we forgive a wrong committed against us. Remember, unresolved anger metastasizes into a tumor of bitterness and can destroy everything and everyone important around us. That's why the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 12:15, "See to it that no one of you comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled." Simply put, to preserve life means to carry the light and protect God's precious gift of life.
I'm so glad you've joined us here on Pathway to Victory to reflect on the sixth commandment, "You shall not murder." Now, you may have a Bible version that renders the sixth commandment as, "Thou shalt not kill." That translation can give the impression that taking any life violates God's standard. But as I said at the start of this message, the Hebrew word that God used in this command specifically prohibits premeditated killing or murder. Remember, every human life is sacred because Genesis 1:27 tells us every person is created in the image of God. That's why the Bible teaches that some killing is sanctioned by God, such as capital punishment, just warfare, and self-defense. God is a God of justice, and He upholds the value of the victim's life. But God clearly said we're not to take a human life without His authorization. The sixth commandment prohibits murder. Now, even after hearing today's message, you might think obeying this commandment is pretty easy. Of course, I'm not going to murder anybody, you may be thinking. But there's a whole lot more to this command than you may realize. I think we often take God's prohibition against murder for granted for two reasons. First, we don't realize how powerful and counterintuitive the sixth commandment really is. In most ancient societies, human life was expendable. It was commonplace to seek revenge by killing anyone who hurt you. Then members of that person's family might try to kill you, and so on. This leads to cycles of violence and bloodshed with no end in sight. Yet, in the midst of this senseless brutality, God reminded His people that human life is valuable. We are not to take someone else's life out of revenge or for convenience. God created us in His image, and every human life is a gift from God. Sadly, thousands of years later, we're still living in a world where human life is cheap. Day after day, breaking news reports show that our nation is plagued by senseless violence, brutality, and mass shootings. It's important to remember that when we talk about the sanctity of human life, we're not just talking about life inside the womb. All life is sacred. Also, we don't realize that there's a lot more to the sixth commandment than just the act of murder. Jesus taught that this commandment prohibits not only the act of murder, but also the attitudes that lead to murder, such as anger, bitterness, and hate. Just as acts of murder and violence rob somebody of their life and well-being, attitudes of murder rob them of their humanity and God-given dignity. Whenever you lash out at somebody out of anger or hate, you're verbally assaulting God's creation, which Jesus said is analogous to murdering that person. And by the way, just because somebody's not a Christian gives us no right to hate them or assault them verbally. No matter how unrighteous a person may be, he or she is still a human being, created in the image of God. I'm reminded of a mass shooting at a church in Charleston, South Carolina in 2015. With hate in his heart, a young man came into a Wednesday night Bible study and opened fire on the crowd, killing 9 people in cold blood. When the murderer was arrested and brought to trial, the judge gave the victim's families the opportunity to address him. Through tears, this is what one family member said to the killer: "You took something very precious from me. I will never talk to her again. I will never be able to hold her again. But I forgive you and have mercy on your soul. You've hurt me. You've hurt a lot of people. But I forgive you." What a picture of the power of valuing life. Instead of lashing out at this young man with anger and hate, this family member recognized the offender's value and chose to forgive him. Even in horrific situations like this one, when justice for the victims is necessary and right, we can choose the attitude of forgiveness instead of hate. That's what it is to preserve and value life. Not only do we not kill others, but we don't allow bitterness or anger against them to fester within our hearts. We don't lash out insults or slander. Instead, we choose to value the life of every person God created. Our lives and the lives of others are gifts from God, and for that reason, they must be protected and preserved. Now, as we conclude today's program, let me give you some good news about Pathway to Victory. I'm pleased to tell you that we're enjoying a fruitful season of growth and influence for God's kingdom. In fact, in recent months, the support of friends like you has allowed us to reach more and more people with the truth of God's Word through both television and radio. But I believe the best days of our ministry are still ahead. I promise to remain dedicated to preaching God's Word without reservation or apology. And I rely on faithful friends like you to partner with me. Together, we are piercing the darkness with the light of God's Word. Now, please stay right there. I'll be back with more Pathway to Victory in just a moment.
The Ten Commandments were not given to restrict our freedom, but to enhance our happiness. They serve as guardrails that keep our lives on track. In his brand new book, The Ten, Dr. Robert Jeffress explains how these timeless truths invite us into the blessing of a love relationship with God and the resulting spillover into our relationship with others.
Our lack of knowledge and application of the Ten Commandments is responsible for the deterioration of our nation, our churches, our homes, and our personal lives. We desperately need to get back to these basics of morality. And that's just what the Ten Commandments provide.
Learn how to live and love in a world that's lost its way when you request The Ten. A copy is yours when you give a generous gift to Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $100 or more, you'll also receive the companion study guide along with the unabridged teaching series on both CD and DVD.
You will never make it to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments. But you will have a much better life here on earth if you do. That is the promise that God is making.
Thank you for giving generously to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory. Your gift today will empower us to bring the 10 to our national platforms this fall, clearly articulating the gospel through our dynamic radio, TV, and online ministry.
Why does God value life so much? Because He's the one who created us. And even when we turned away from Him, God gave His best gift, the gift of His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross, that we could spend eternity with God. That is why life is so precious. Well, few perils pose a greater threat to marriage than adultery. So how can we guard against moral compromise? Stay tuned for a preview of what's coming up next in our series, The Ten.
Sin is pleasurable, but only for a season. And perhaps no sin leaves a wake of destruction behind it, like the sin we're talking about today. It affects not only those involved, but the innocent parties. It can affect generations to come.
Set your DVR and join us next time for the message, The Seventh Commandment, Keep Marriage Holy, here on Pathway to Victory.